Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 81, and I am Libya, your host, and we have long returning from a long time ago guest.
Hi, I'm Josh, and Josh's I'm back.
Yay!
Amy.
Yay!
From
Encino.
Oh, Peter from Glendale.
And everybody's actually in the room today, so that's really great. So we can all make faces at each other off camera. I like it.
Yep.
The first thing I want to talk about is the news. Grimm and Chuck's premiere have been pushed back to Halloween, which I'm not sure what that means. I think
I'm okay with it personally just because I'm watching so much stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And I actually think what it means is that some of the shows on NBC that they were afraid were going to fail out very quickly have not. Been performing decently, so they want to give the shows a good shot, which I'm...
Okay, good for them.
Yeah, I'm like, all right. So,
I am looking forward to Grimm.
Yeah, I was about to say, Grimm, I'm already out. I already declared I'm out of Chuck, even though...
I'll watch Chuck because it's the last season, but...
Well, that's why I watched last season. I watched last season because it was the last season, and then it wasn't.
Well, this is the actual last season, and it's only 13 episodes, so I'm like, okay, fine, I'll stay with
it. So it's an official announcement.
I guess. Oh, my God.
There's nothing more they can do with it.
Yeah, it's been driven in the ground. The other piece of news is Steve DeKnight got a 2-year deal from Starz, which guarantees he'll be on the network to continue Spartacus.
Excellent.
But they also want him to develop new shows, which is good and bad, because it's great that we get Spartacus, but I'm afraid, does that mean if he develops a new show, his time is going to be split? Which I don't like. Yeah. When you start getting my showrunner and you start giving him multiple projects, the first project usually suffers.
Hopefully he'll groom somebody to be his successor on Spartacus.
Yes.
If he's smart.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, it's good news for him, so I'm excited. And it also means we'll probably get some new good shows. So,
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, he does. I like his mind. Yeah. His mind works.
Yeah.
All right, and just a reminder, I know the podcast comes out on Monday, and so you would have missed it by time, but for us, it's ahead of time. Anyway, I want to remind everybody the Dexter premieres on Sunday, as well as Homeland, both on Showtime.
And woo-hoo! I'm excited for both.
I am too. I have seen the pilot for Homeland, and I love it. We'll talk about it next week.
I have not, but I have seen the season opener for Dexter, and we'll talk about it next week.
Ooh, oh, cool. Now I'm intrigued. All right, so this week we're going to slightly reverse the order because we're going to talk about last week's Doctor Who, so we're going to talk about that first. So it was the episode...
With Craig, Closing Time.
Right, yes. It was Closing Time, and where the doctor got to work in a department store and take care of a baby and speak baby and be bizarre.
And learn... I loved it.
Yeah, I totally liked it.
I loved it.
Maybe it was because... I had heard from some other friends that they were like, it's like kind of the weakest of the season. So maybe it was
that
my expectation.
That friend was me.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I said that.
I went into it and I'm like, oh, it's this guy. I haven't seen this guy in a while. And then, like you said, the doctor's at a department store and he's got a badge. So that was pretty funny. Like, I just
loved him, like, trying to sell gadgets to kids. He's like, tell your parents, otherwise they'll spend money on frivolous things like food and
vacuum cleaners and stuff. Yeah.
For me, it recalled the episode Rose. The very beginning of the new
He's in the department store.
Yeah, that's why.
Though he wasn't selling stuff.
Wait, which episode?
The joke I really liked was when he was talking about the badge he had on, and he's like, they gave me a badge that has my name in case I forget it, which is actually a valid concern. And I was like, that's a good reference to the Doctor Who movie where he forgot his name.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, nice.
Well, I love how Moffat always, or whoever is writing it, but Moffat probably has some control over that, is just how they pepper in little phrases that just sort of like hit you in just the right way, like, whoa, that was something I really want to explore more.
Yeah, it's that was pretty good. The reason I thought it was one of the weaker ones was because I thought the ending was beyond sappy, and I thought that it felt like, as you guys are talking about it and talking about how great it is, I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. But when I was watching it, I was kind of like, it's considering how good the other episodes have been this season. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not an awful episode, not by any stretch, it's not a really bad episode, but as compared to everything else we've gotten, it is the weakest one, I think.
Well, here's what I think, and I was comparing it to The End of Time with Tennant, because we had sort of the same situation going on where Tennant was sort of dreading his impending doom.
That's what the whole thing's reminding me of.
That is reminding me of that, too,
And that's what this was, and I felt this one was a lot stronger than the way they did it with Tennant.
Actually, I disagree, because with Tenet, we knew that the actor was leaving, and so for me, I felt a little of what he was feeling, but I don't believe that Matt Smith is going anywhere. I don't believe the Doctor's really dying.
Of course he's not, but the thing that I liked about it was, with Tenet, there was just so much whining and crying about, this other person is going to come and replace me, and I don't want to go, and blah, 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 and Matt Smith, in this one, is just very, I have come to terms with what's going to happen, and I'm ready to face my fate.
Well, not really. He's been running for a while, and
this
is the moment where this is the moment,
and I mean, they never say so explicitly, but I'm assuming that this is the 200 years later Doctor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's been running around for 200 years at this point.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't think that's exactly accepting your fate.
Well, I don't think he's been running around so much as he's been trying to find ways to circumvent what's going to happen.
Right. I mean, I get that, but it's just kind of like, it felt like a redux to me, because I do feel like it was the same episode, but yeah, for the Tenet one, actually, other people didn't like it as much, but for me, it grabbed me, and I was angsting and crying all over the place. But,
okay, I wasn't.
So, yeah, I know. It didn't work for everybody.
But this one actually, like, got me a little bit when he talked to the three kids and sort of spoke his epitaph to them.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. Yeah, I did like that. Yeah, that was a nice moment.
Then how later, with voiceover, as adults, they recalled him.
Yeah. Right, yeah, okay, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, which was weird. That I was like, why are they in the future? But, yeah, okay.
Well, I just thought once you get to the scene with River Song and the eye patch lady. I thought it all came together pretty well. I was like, all the pieces are falling into place.
Yeah,
the
end freaked me out. And then I was like,
but we all knew that was coming.
Yeah, we did. But it did freak me out a little bit. However, my comment was, why the heck are they putting her in a spaceman suit? Like, if you're going to come up with a plot to kill the Doctor, why would you put someone in an astronaut suit?
And actually, I was a little confused because I haven't seen it in a while.
Why not a scuba gear? Like, I was just like, that's just strange.
I was a little confused because I haven't rewatched a lot of this season's Doctor Who, but in the premiere, I thought the astronaut was a little girl.
We saw her as a little girl in the astronaut suit, but when
she was in the suit.
She was in the suit in Washington, but when it comes out of the lake, we never see who's actually
the helmet
suit.
Never comes off.
Right. The helmet never comes off, and we never see
the doctor goes, oh, I know it's you.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Why is the girl in the suit? And why is
because
the girl
they're brainwashing her to know that in the suit she uses the gun to kill the doctor.
Oh,
they've been doing that for her whole life.
Which is why they use the suit this time, because that's part of the brainwashing.
Okay,
I get that, but why use it? that's just my only question.
Well, it was part of how they confined her when she was a kid.
True.
And so I think it's all just part of the brainwashing and bring back all the triggers and everything.
And like on Fringe, it's a very like, you're very, like, isolated in this big kind of Bioshock-y. You're completely withdrawn, and no one can even tell who you are. So, I mean, it's not a bad idea for that kind of
outfit. Well, my question is, there in the earlier episode, it was the Impossible Astronaut and, what was the one after
Day of the Moon.
Day of the Moon. There were pictures in that orphanage of Amy with the little girl.
Right, when the heck does that happen?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Oh, I don't know.
And I'm extremely confused now about Rory and Amy's timeline and when...
Yeah, because we see in this episode that... Amy has gone on to become
a
model,
right?
Which I'm like, okay, fine, that's great and all, but then we also understand that this is the day before he comes back to them and they go to Utah.
Well, not necessarily. That already happened for them. Remember?
Yeah.
She went to Utah, watched the doctor die, went on adventures with him, he dropped her off, then she became a model. Because if you looked at the line... It said,
yeah, I need to look at this line again.
on the poster, it's like, for the girl who's done waiting.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm tired of waiting. Right,
I'm talking about the timelines.
The timeline is, they already went to the doctor's death. They traveled with him for a while. Mm-hmm. He left them. They've gone on with their life.
Yeah.
The them that he gives the letters to are the them in...
Earlier.
Okay.
Okay.
I did like, by the way, nice that... I mean,
he gets the envelopes and the Stetson from Craig.
That was great.
Yeah.
No, what you were saying about Amy being a model, I mean, one of the criticisms that Karen Gillian has had was that they'd be like, oh, she's not really an actress. It's always like, oh, that's great that in this
Yeah.
altered, like, and she is a model now. Like,
there you go.
I kind of like that. like little cute thing.
It's like, but either way, how dare our companion be pretty?
Right. I mean, but my biggest thing
all
was
companions have been pretty.
But my biggest thing was I just really liked the chemistry of the doctor. What was the guy's name?
Craig.
With Craig, I just
it was great.
I loved all the ideas that like you and I said before.
I liked
just when the doctor's rolling off and thinking of things.
It's really,
I love that.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the fact that the baby's name was like
Storm.
Demon.
Storm again. That's what I was gonna bring. That's what I was gonna bring up in. In the coming years, how many Doctor Who fans are going to start naming their kids Stormageddon?
Hopefully not many.
Stormageddon, Dark Lord of All.
That was awesome.
But I mean, it's weird. I mean, obviously, this is one of those episodes where what we're liking about it are the things we like about Doctor Who and characters, because we haven't even mentioned the Cybermen.
Like,
I mean,
well,
technically,
they were
that
barely,
is the...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
they were real, they were serving as a plot device. That
right,
was about
exactly.
It.
And that's part of my problem, but anyway.
Yeah,
well,
like
I'm
out.
Over
and
the Cybermen anyway, so...
Me,
yeah.
Oh, me too.
I thought it was a cop-out how, like, suddenly all this emotion can get... them out of the
but I didn't want
divine.
The guy to die.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying. It was a cop out, but I didn't.
Cheesy,
it was,
yeah.
But I didn't want to kill the character.
I didn't want
but
Craig
it is,
to die either.
It is right. Established canon with the emotional inhibitors and how it does destroy them because they did that back in Rise of the Cybermen.
Yeah,
but
it just
yeah.
Felt like
eh. It did. It was cheesy.
I agree. Yeah. Yes,
but
all right. Next up, well, two thumbs up, Doctor Who.
Two thumbs up.
Absolutely.
Well, for me, it was kind of one thumb up, but
you
know,
whatever.
Seven thumbs up.
So next up, we want to talk about Breaking Bad, and this week's episode is the build up to the finale, which was awesome. It was like I actually felt like the way it ended, it could have been the finale. Like
I'm desperately trying to remember what
like,
happened
the,
in this episode.
Oh, the last shot is of Walt, like. He realizes that he has to get out of town because Gus is going to kill him.
Oh right, yeah. With and he goes under the house and finds out that they're
all
missing
the money.
All
is
the
gone.
Money is gone because Skyler gave it to her ex boss to kill, who is a complete jerk.
Right. The whole point was she knew that if her boss got audited by the IRS, then
she would
be
get
audited,
investigated,
and then he would be discovered.
Right.
So it makes sense, but why she never told him? Boggles my mind.
Well, it just goes back, like, I think she's just learned way too much from Walt about
not telling
people
that's,
stuff.
That's true. And then she hires those guys to lean on this dude, which I knew she was going to do.
Yeah.
And though the way that dude died was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That was awesome.
Like,
tripping, falling, sliding, smashing your head into a wall,
like
and you're done.
I know. It was just like the hitmen were like, oh, all we're going to do, just like, we're not going to hurt you. We're just going
to
sit here.
And wait for the check
to clear.
And
that's all we're going to do. We're just going to hang out. We're not, he's like, you're not in really any danger. You're fine. Mm-hmm. But because he's so freaking greedy and didn't want to give up that money.
Yeah.
He tries to run away from these guys, trips on his own rug, falls face first into one of his
kitchen
countertop
or something. Yeah.
And cracks his neck.
Yeah.
And the guys are just like, they come and look at him and they're just like, huh.
I just love the look on their face like, no way that just happened.
And it was great because they go back
well,
and they're like,
I just love that the heavy is Bill Burr, who is an awesome stand-up comedian.
Oh, yes, I don't know him, but what I thought was great is they go back and they're like, it was an act of God. They were like, we never touched the guy. It was just, they were like, act of God. Can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
They're great.
But the whole thing, everything comes down to Jesse has basically said, we're done. You know, he kicks Walt out, severing the relationship.
But then he also says to Gus, if you kill Walt, I'm out.
That's true. So, and Walt realizes this, but what Gus tells him is that, yeah, he's not going to do that now, but if I work on him, he's like, I've already worked on him enough for this.
Yeah.
He's like, let me work on him a little more, and he won't care if I kill you.
Well, then he starts threatening his family, and that's what gets
Walt. What freaks him out. He's just like, okay, we got to get out of town, we got to change our names, and he thinks that he has just enough money to save his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets to the basement, finds out money's gone, he can't save his family.
And so he starts going nuts, and then Hank's wife calls up and says, there are people after Hank.
Well, I know, because he tipped them off.
Yeah.
Like, so Walt knows they're after him, so he tipped them off, and now I think that Skyler is kind of putting it all together, and she's just like,
the look
crap.
Of terror on Skyler's face at the end was awesome.
Yeah, and then Hank was, like, having a hysterical breakdown in the basement or down there, and that last shot where he stopped laughing because that hysteria kind of went away and now he's going to with terror.
Uh-huh.
That last shot when they pan up, I was like, is this the season finale? Like it felt
it,
like
it felt
yeah,
like
yeah,
it,
yeah,
but
it like
I'm like, no,
finale,
we
yeah.
we got one more to go and just to see how all this is resolved.
It's because he can't.
This season has been amazing,
right? But I mean, his choices were run or fight. So he's like, let's run.
Yeah,
that's taken away from him. All he's got left is fight, stand and fight. So he's got to protect his family.
Yeah, and so next week we're going to have the big showdown between Walt and Gus, which I cannot wait for.
The thing that's weird is I don't want Gus to die.
Me neither.
I don't want
but
Gus
But I
to...
want this showdown.
I love Gus a lot. And what's funny is Gus actually used the same method Walt used to kill people that were more powerful than him, which was poison.
Yeah.
Like I was like... Gus, Walt has used that twice to kill people, and we see
when
Gus
used that on the cartel last week.
I was like, did he get that idea from Walt? Like, it was just so weird.
Well, part of me was like, did he just steal the poison that Jesse had?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. But that because I don't think you can't give yourself a serum to defend yourself against cyanide. There's like
no.
Yeah, so no, I that was something else.
Yeah,
but that was still pretty awesome. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up, yeah. It's
I can't
really,
wait
it's,
for
it's
next
It's amazing.
Week. Yeah.
All right. Next up is Terra Nova, and it is the two. It was a two-hour premiere, and all the people at Comic-Con probably saw the first hour, but they didn't see the second hour.
Mm-hmm.
So
they saw the better half.
Oh, really? You think so?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say what all different shows this reminded me of.
You have a list?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay, so in the beginning, Blade Runner.
Yes.
Yes.
And Fifth Element. And then Stargate.
Once you go through the gate.
Once you go through the gate,
yeah. And then Lost and Jurassic Park.
Well, Jurassic Park, obviously.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs.
Well, obviously, yeah.
In a theme park-y area or whatever.
But all of those.
Well, yeah, this was more... This wasn't so much theme park as it was...
I'm going to go off differently from you guys, which is I really, really liked Terra Nova. I think...
Oh, I liked it. I just thought the first half was stronger than the second half.
Oh, okay. Because I really liked... I did like The Other World. Where, you know, they have all the poster, like, a family is four, and, you know, they had all the...
Oh, I liked all that, yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
all the psychological stuff, and
the very dystopian environment was very well executed,
I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that they brought about a bunch of... Because, I mean, if it was just this family living with dinosaurs, I could see people being like, eh, but they...
It's prehistoric Swiss Family Robinson.
Right, and so that's not particularly interesting,
but
because they've said, okay, he's a cop... So now he's going to actually be part of these security forces and doing stuff. And then they've introduced all these different plots of who are the Sixers, what does it mean?
Yeah.
They're like the others, right?
Well,
yeah, except
kind of, but we know who they are.
Yeah, we know who they are, but the only thing we don't know, well, the others didn't have an agenda. Well, we didn't know what the others' agenda was, too. But, like, with the Sixers...
The Sixers definitely
have
an
agenda. And they all came through, and they're following someone's orders. We don't know whose.
Right.
But we also now know that the leader, I don't know what that guy's name is.
Taylor.
He also is doing something, and we don't know what it is.
Well,
but you know what's interesting?
His son has run off, and his son is now scrawling these weird calculations on
all
rocks
by
this river.
And as far as I can tell, the calculations are about changing time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Or some kind of time travel, because this is a one-way trip.
Right,
But it's also a one-way trip to a parallel world. It's not the same world.
It's an alternate
timeline. Except, they say that it's an alternate timeline, but the way that they're talking about changing their own timeline makes me think that they're trying to figure out how to get to their own time stream to change things.
Either that, or this is all predestination, and they're going to somehow do this, and that's why this is a parallel world.
I don't know, but that's interesting.
But I do like that because we also have the whole circumventing the butterfly effect rule,
right?
Which I'm glad
I am my own grandpa.
Yeah, like they. What I liked is that with the parallel world thing, they were able to address the butterfly effect and at the same time work around it in a non-cheesy way,
right? Mm-hmm. And they did it with one like line of exposition, and they were done.
And that's exactly what you needed, and it was. Perfectly fine, and I was okay with it.
And I did like that, but like I said, I just like the... and when Taylor was talking about I was here for 180 days when I stepped through and everybody else thought it was innocent, I was like, what does that mean? Like, all that kind of stuff I thought was really interesting. I'm like, I want to know the answers to
these
things.
I'm definitely intrigued, and I definitely want to know more. I thought the dinosaur attacks themselves were just kind of
right.
Okay.
Right.
And I really don't. I didn't like playing up the whole rebellious teen thing because that's been done to death.
I think that they're wrapping that up. I feel like,
I hope so.
I feel like after the kid almost got everybody killed and his whole rebellion thing ended very badly, I think he's kind of settled down.
I like that he and his father are both getting it from like every angle. Listen, you two are pretty much the same person. Stop being at odds with each other.
Right. And I think that they kind of addressed that, and I'm hoping that, I mean, he's still a teenager, so that's not going to change, but I feel like he's not going to be like, I don't like you, Dad, why are you, like, I feel like the whining is mostly
I'm hoping we got all our teen angst out here.
Yeah.
But I do like how intelligent Sky seems to be.
Yes.
Because she's seen the scrawling, and she knows that Taylor, who is pretty much her surrogate father at this point, is not talking about it, so therefore she's not telling him that she's seen it.
She knows that she'd be in trouble if she did.
Yeah.
So there's something going on there that she has an inkling of. But the thing is, the dinosaurs are irrelevant to me.
They kind of are, but...
It's more about what the humans are doing.
Yeah, but, I mean, I thought... My big problem is, why do they have a bunch of brachiosaurs penned up? I don't understand why
you
they
mean
did
the big
that.
Tall ones.
Yeah,
I don't think they're
penned
up.
Not penned up. They were outside the fence. They were just sticking their heads in to get the trees.
They look penned up to
no,
me.
No, okay. The humans were penned up. They were on the outside of the wall.
Okay, all right.
They just like to hang out there.
Yeah, because
they're just giant cows.
Yeah. Basically. So, Peter, you didn't say anything.
I only saw the first hour. So, and I saw it at Comic-Con. I remember liking what I saw, but I mean, it's hard for me to tell because I didn't see the whole thing.
Okay.
I was I guess I was in like the middle. I was kind of like, oh, this could be all right. You know, I actually thought I found the Blade Runner aspect, the sci-fi world, more interesting.
Yeah.
And I think you had said,
I agree.
They do say that they're going to go back and forth.
Right.
And I just don't know if the actual Jurassic Parky world is that interesting to me.
It's intriguing enough. Like, I mean, so far we've had introductions of what I consider to be the three big dinosaurs from Jurassic Park. We have the Brachiosaurus, we have the Carnotaurus, which is sort of a derivative of the T-Rex.
Right.
And then we have the Slashers, which are derivative of the Raptors.
Right. So we have all the... Basically, they basically made the jungle very dangerous. So I think that's like more of a plot point than anything else. They are not really the danger there. Like, they've established... And if all the danger was them, then...
It would probably be a lot more boring.
Right, exactly. And so... By establishing all these other things going on, I think I'm fine.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question. Since this is an alternate universe, is like the meteor or whatever killed the dinosaurs not going to come destroy everybody?
Well, we don't know.
Oh.
We don't know how much alternate this is.
Hmm. Right. And that's a very good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff we're building, meteor comes, done. Like,
yeah.
Well,
I
mean,
my
prediction for like the ultimate resolution of this series is that it's going to be the humans who have invaded this area who caused the extinction of the dinosaurs.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So I give it 2 thumbs up. Everybody else gives it a cautious...
I give it a thumbs up, and I'm definitely intrigued to see where it goes.
Yeah, okay. I'm about there too.
Okay, cool. Next up, we're going to talk about Castle. And this is the second episode since they're back, and what was pretty funny, this was a funny one.
This was, okay, this is my confession here. I've been working on a spec script for Castle that I wanted to submit to them, and that was this episode.
Someone beat
almost
you
to a T.
Someone beat you to it.
Someone beat me to it.
It was great, because it's like a superhero going around trying to defend everybody. What was funny is every time they caught somebody that they thought was the killer, I was like, oh, the first guy you know is not going to be it.
Right.
But everybody they found, I think half the people are dressed up as this guy.
That's what made it so funny. It was like all these people who are not the killer and yet are dressing up as this random superhero who's in a webcomic.
Right. I thought that was so great. I think they did hit us over the head a little bit with the writer guy being in love with the actual hero. And I was like, wait, are we making a parallel for Castle and Beckett? Yes, I get it.
Of course we are.
Yeah.
What I did like was that it turns out Beckett is a comic book geek.
Oh, right. Well, she never admits to anything that she reads. Like, she reads all his books. She doesn't want to talk about it. She reads, like, she reads a lot.
Yeah.
So.
But I love that about Beckett.
Yeah. I think the mystery was not that mysterious, but I did like the byplay and I like the superhero.
Mm-hmm.
That was, and I can't remember, they said that he, oh, I like the scene where Castle was breaking down the mythos or the backstory of the superhero, because he's like, oh, he's a little bit of Batman, he's a little bit of whatever, and he was saying, I bet you one of his parents must have been killed, and like, because that gave them the anger to want to defend the, you know, it's like he was breaking it all down, based on all the comics that he's read. Mm-hmm. And when they finally find the person, that's pretty much what happened. So I was like, nicely done.
Yeah, it was very well done. And I think my favorite part was the character's name is like Lone Vengeance or something
like that. Yes, yes. And that guy was like, I want to be a sidekick?
Yeah, I want to be a sidekick. He's like, but his name is Lone Vengeance. Lone.
And then the guy was like, oh. It's like he just realized that was going to work. That was pretty good. All right, so this episode was fun.
It was fun. Didn't really contribute anything to the major story, but that's okay because Castle does good with their standalones.
Yeah. I thought this was a pretty funny one. Mm-hmm. All right, next up is Hawaii 5-0, but only for like 5 seconds for me to say if, what's her name, Kanakoa?
Kona.
Grace Park, as I call her. Mm-hmm. If she's gone from the series, I'm done.
I don't think she's gone from the series. I think that she's going to be more of a rogue element that is part of the team.
Yeah, but she can't carry a gun. She's not a cop anymore.
That's going to stop her? Come on, this is Kona we're talking about.
I know, but the fact, if they hadn't brought in the pretty blonde to replace her, then I would be like, okay, sure.
I think this is all just sort of a red herring, and Kona is still going to be a part of the team. I don't think, first of all, what's Daniel Day Kim's character?
I call him Daniel
Chin?
Day Kim.
Chin Ho. He's not going to let her sit on the sidelines.
I agree, but it feels like, and I would totally be on board if they hadn't brought the new character in. Like, I really feel like that new character is the pretty girl that's going to replace her.
And you see, again, I think that's a red herring. I think she's only going to be here for a few episodes and then...
Well, she's not on the opening credits yet, so there's that, but...
Yeah. Of course, you know, Olivia Wilde wasn't on the opening credits for House for like 3 seasons.
Very good point. But they basically, you better not get rid of my Kona, all right? All right, that's all I'm saying.
Okay. I don't think Kona's getting rid of.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I almost deleted my Hawaii 5-0 channel as those credits ended at the end, but I didn't.
Stick with it. I'm sure she's not going to disappear.
All right, next up is Modern Family. What do you guys think?
So funny.
Yeah,
this is a good one.
I liked my favorite storyline was the two guys trying to go on their juice diet.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking about the different stages, like the different stages of grief.
Yeah.
Basically, the different stages of starvation.
Yeah, I like the rage when he rips the cabinet door off and he comes up behind him and he says, hey, what you got there?
What you got there?
I love Mitchell and Cam. And what I love was like how they turn the tables where it ends up being Mitchell who is the one who goes completely insane and Cam is the reasonable one.
Right.
Right, because they're at the
snorkels.
Yeah, and the guy was like, I think he's just a work friend.
I thought that was really good. I actually found myself a little teary at the end when, you know, because they've all this drama, and I think Claire and the kids come home, and then they see that man on wire like thing, and I was just like, "That's awesome!" Like
actually really cool. That was
totally cool because
like again, it turned the tables because like you're expecting Phil's doing this crazy thing, it's going to end in tragedy, but he actually accomplishes it while everybody else is crashing and burning around him. Yeah. It was fantastic.
The only thing that I thought was when he was talking to Luke. And Luke was like, maybe you can't do it because it's not high enough and you don't have, you know, the pressure. And he goes, that's an awful idea. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, that sounds like an awful idea.
But it's Phil, so he's like, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is going to end poorly.
Exactly.
But then, he totally
did. And then
it
totally threw our expectations, which I loved.
Yeah, that was good. And it gave you that happy moment, like, after he gets down and everybody hugs. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little nice family.
Yeah, totally.
Goodness.
Oh, and the dog in the shower.
It's like you cuddle your dog.
Wait, does the dog have a name?
I don't remember if the dog has a name.
Okay.
I'm sure it does, but it's really not important. Yeah, just call it the dog.
Yeah, he likes to drink the water. It's funny.
And it's like he's got the dog in the bed with him and he's like, and I like
what about the dog. Why can't Manny sleep in the room? I don't know. Just answer then you pan out and you see that Manny's pull out. And then answer the question, Jay. Like, <everybody. laughs>
And I like that Gloria's whole issue is the hierarchy. She goes, wife, mistress, then dog.
Yeah. I loved it, but I have to say, like, of all the three stories, probably the Jay and Gloria one was the weakest one for me. They were all very strong, but I felt in just the grand scheme of all three stories, Jay and Gloria was probably the one that affected me the least.
Well, probably, and also because they don't really, in that part of the family, I usually like when they use Manny, and right. he doesn't really have much to do.
That's true. There wasn't a lot of Manny this episode.
That might be part of it.
That could be.
But I agree. I liked all three.
I liked them all. Like, I'm just... Like, if we want to compare all the stories, Jay and Gloria comes in last for me.
For me, the weakest one was the two sisters and their class.
Oh, right.
Well, but I liked how that was linked up to the weird crossing guard. I kind of like that thing.
Yeah,
that was... Like, so that was, I would count that as part of that same story side. So.
I'm always biased to that family because I love them.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Dumfies.
Yeah. I mean, I love them all. Yeah.
Actually, I think I agree. I like the Jay and Gloria more than I like the... Once you get to the kids, I don't necessarily like the kids of the Dumfies. But
I really like Claire and Phil.
I love Claire and Phil, and I like Luke.
Right.
I
think Luke is
and Luke's got his sugar...
Yeah.
Which, you know, giving that was kid so a bag awesome. Of candy. It's like, I've got this, you know, bag of junk food. I'm listening.
You have my attention, sir.
You have my attention, sir. Like, so that was pretty good. So.
All right, so thumbs up, Modern Family.
Absolutely.
Big Bang Theory. This week, what the heck happened?
Well, this was the wedding that Amy goes to with...
Amy Farrah Fowler went to the wedding with Leonard
instead of Sheldon. Because
Sheldon was obsessed with trains.
Because Sheldon had discovered HO scale model trains.
And he was like, do you know the smaller they get, the cooler they are? And I was like, I don't think that's true.
I can fit this one in my mouth.
I just have to say, as of this week, I am now officially in love with Amy Farrah Fowler.
Now? It took you this long?
Well, I've always liked her, and I've always had, like, a very strong affinity for her, but after this, I'm like, yes, I will marry this woman.
Well, what was great is that she goes over, after she goes on her date with Leonard, she goes over to
Penny,
and she's like, I think I've ruined Leonard. I think he's in love with him. He's like, darn my hips.
That's what I love about her is, like, she's so awkward and yet so unbelievably confident in herself.
In strange, bizarre ways, right? So Penny's
I just love how she's like, I'll let him have tonight.
And I was like, I don't think he's quite as in love with you as you think, but that's okay. And I like Penny's, because Penny was like, I think we need to sit down and discuss this right now. Like, that was all pretty good.
Well, then we have Sheldon's reaction to Leonard talking about
it. Oh, right!
that was so awesome!
That's the first time that Sheldon has ever responded in any way in a regular male version about a woman at all. That was just crazy. Because Leonard makes the comment, because they were dancing. And
they were doing the hokey pokey.
Yeah,
and
he pulled the groin muscle.
Yeah.
And he's like, he makes some comment.
He's like, we had a really good time, but man, my groin is hurting.
Right, and
like
so
that.
Sheldon thinks that they had sex or were something like that. And he literally karate chops Leonard.
Like on the shoulder.
Yeah, it's like some like Vulcan chop or something like that. Because like Leonard is like wounded hardcore from this.
And he was like, you will cease your relations with Sarah Sheriff Fowler.
Amy, it's not for you.
Yeah, that's what
not for you.
Not for you.
I was like, oh, he likes Amy. Yay.
I kind of like the idea of Leonard and Amy.
Well, that's the first time he's ever shown any kind of, like, real emotion towards her.
Yeah.
Like, he had no problem Leonard going to the wedding with her. He was like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then if he thought that something was happening between them, he was like, karate chop!
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, and I love the storyline with the mother in the house.
Oh, and Bernadette?
Yeah. Oh, God.
He wants butter!
Why?
It's butter flavored syrup! I told him!
I was like, why is she still with him? At this point, why? And then at the end, he's kind of like, I guess I have to cut my pancakes myself. And I was like, you are a bizarre man.
That's what I love about this guy. He's like, he has the most insane Oedipus complex of anybody ever.
Yes. Oh my God, that is so bizarre.
That was my favorite storyline.
That gave me the creeps. Anyway, okay, moving on. Next up is Vampire Diaries, and
I thought it was good. Yeah.
I
was excited about the introduction of a new original. That was my biggest thing.
Yeah, I thought Rebecca was an interesting character.
And
I
had a feeling that the next original would be a female.
Well, of course,
because we've already got two dudes. So, yeah.
All I have to say is the retcon that happened in this episode made me very, very angry.
What do you consider the retcon?
Retcon is Stefan and Klaus were best friends, really?
But then he compels them.
And it totally makes sense.
They explain, but this is still retcon.
I thought retcon is when it's fake, or when it's like, well, actually, that doesn't make sense. I think they did come up with a reason.
Retcon is when it doesn't fit into the canon.
But it does fit in the canon.
Yeah.
No, well, as far as we knew, Stefan and Klaus never knew each other for a whole season. And now, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, they were best friends, they were as close as brothers. They are changing Chicago. Right, but they are still changing canon. They are retroactively changing the canon. It does make sense, but they are changing it.
Huh.
They are saying, and if I'd asked you at the end of last year, do Klaus and Stefan know each other, you would have been like, no.
Right, but I didn't know, I guess.
But that's my... So that's are still you, retroactively just curious, changing the canon.
Can retcon ever, for you, be acceptable?
Then? Yeah, it can be.
Oh, okay, all right.
I just didn't particularly... I got angry with this up until... He actually, once he released his memories and he got his memories back, I was kind of like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
But I still didn't like it. Hmm. I didn't like the fact that he knew about originals, was in love with an original. Like, I'm like, really? Like, all that just felt, it felt like I could see the writers. Hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I felt it added like a new dimension to him that I was more interested to see. Because, like, this season, and I know this is only two episodes so far season. Yeah. I've just been constantly I've just been comparing Ripper to Angelus and how much I like Angelus more than Ripper.
Exactly. That's the other problem I have, which is the actor Paul who plays Stefan does not pull off Angelus.
He doesn't pull evil off.
He does not pull it off. And I was actually thinking when we were talking about how Sam doesn't do evil on Supernatural, I was like, yeah, this guy can't do evil.
Actually,
either.
I would agree. Because that was my fear at the end of the finale. But actually, it hasn't bothered me as much. I don't know why. Because, yes, when Sam tries to be evil, it bothers me. But for some reason, I'm not saying he's great evil, but it hasn't taken me out of it.
It hasn't taken me out of it as much as, like, Sam being evil has. But it's just, it's not really working for me.
It's, well, mainly because we have Angelus to compare it to.
Exactly.
Like, and Angelus was really pure afraid evil. Of
yes,
him.
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
You know, like,
yeah.
I was really genuinely afraid, and I had no... Like, if Angelus...
I know it's an unfair comparison, because Ripper is not a completely separate personality from Stefan. Like, he is still Stefan.
I call BS on the Angelus being completely separate anyway. But my thing is, the difference is, if he had found... Elena in that closet, he would have killed her. That's the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's why I'm kind of like, he's not really super evil. He's just
But actually, in a weird way, I think maybe we saw it differently. That's kind of what I liked about the premiere, was that the premiere was saying that Stefan isn't really evil. Because remember, she makes that phone call and she's like, oh, he calls her.
Yeah, he calls
and
her.
It's like, here, just hold on. So I was like, so he's really not evil.
Well, yeah,
he's
you're
doing
right.
These things, but he's trying to hold on to his humanity. That's not Angelus. He's just evil.
Angelus is straight up
so
evil.
So I do
this. Yeah.
I think they
that's
have
true.
Written it that way. That's not
true.
Quite.
You
know,
I know, and I
agree. It is
that.
An unfair comparison.
Yeah.
But I still can't help doing it.
Yeah. He just, and the whole Chicago flashback stuff, I was like, why are we in Chicago? Like,
most shows I don't like flashbacks, but I like their flashbacks.
I usually don't like flashbacks.
Well,
you didn't like this flashback because it dealt with the retcon.
Well, and that's the thing is, normally I love vampire.
Yeah, I like
vampire
flashbacks.
Yeah. This time I did not, and I was literally almost about to fast forward.
I had to
hold my hand to keep myself from doing
it. I liked it because it was like Boardwalk Empire for me. Which I
just
love.
Kinda, yeah.
It was like Vampire Diaries and Boardwalk Empire. Empire. Two great tastes that taste great together.
All right. So you guys really liked Vampire Diaries. I feel like I'm like the negative Nancy this week. It's so weird.
That's okay. It needs to happen.
I know, but it's usually not me. I'm like, what's going on, man? I don't know. It's just, this was the first Vampire Diaries where I was not satisfied, really. So
I agree this was not the strongest episode of the season thus far. And granted, it's only the third episode. But I still liked it.
Right, in the second episode, the big deal was that we go, oh, Klaus's big plan was that he's trying to make the hybrids, and it's not working because he didn't really kill the doppelganger.
Right.
That was the big surprise.
That was really good.
Which was great. Yeah, that was really cool. Good.
And now, on top of it, Elena has the necklace. Really?
Yeah. Like, right, yeah, I know. She's like, where's my necklace? I need that. I was like, oh, and she's got it. Yeah, so.
I just felt like that was just an added thing. to just be like, however, that's actually pretty good because they need the necklace to figure out what's wrong with the spell. And once they figure out what's wrong with the spell, they'll know they need to kill Elena.
Right, that's actually very
convenient that she has the necklace too.
Yeah.
And we haven't
talked about the Caroline thing at all. But there isn't much to talk about.
Yeah, her father is evil.
Yeah, I don't really like the whole I'm trying to make, you know. Yeah. It's kind of taking the gay out of you, like, type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be a vampire if I expose you to sunlight. Like, I didn't really like that.
And
like,
she was like,
I like that actor, though.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah, I love him. Jack Coleman, he's great.
And I did like the mom and Tyler coming to save her.
Right.
Like, that was all good. But, it was all right.
No, so. I did like that the mom turned around at the end.
Right.
That's the part
mom has already accepted her.
Yeah. But, I mean, this was sort of like the first time we actually, like, saw her addressing turnaround.
That's true.
Which was really pretty good.
And she was all talking about her father hated her. I was like, actually, if he hated you, he would have just staked you.
Yeah.
So I was like, he doesn't hate you, but he needs to see that she's different.
Right.
And that's the thing. He has never seen... Well, their entire culture is... You see a vampire, you kill a vampire at the end. You don't actually hang out and learn anything about him.
Right.
So this is... I actually do want to see them spend time together.
Me too.
Yeah, so there's that. All right, so wrapping up Vampire Diaries. You guys, super thumbs up, me, medium.
I wouldn't say super thumbs up.
I give regular thumbs up.
Yeah, it's Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm. Minor sideways.
Okay.
All right, next up, the... Third episode of Secret Circle. So Secret Circle this week, they've bound the circle, which you know that's the whole thing. Are we gonna do it? And I liked that. Oh, I don't know anyone's names. Oh my god,
it's hard for me to keep these names straight.
Oh no, there's Faith.
I know Faye is the
who's the evil one.
She's the evil one.
Okay, all right.
Cassie is the main girl.
Okay, so Cassie. Okay. I like that she's like, okay, I bound the circle to contain our magic. Now I don't need to see any of you idiots anymore. So that was her original attitude. But they found out very quickly that they had to stick together because other people know that they're witches and other people are trying to kill them. And they are helpless by themselves. Like,
right.
You need, once you bind the circle, you need at least two people
to have any sort of power. And you need all of them together to do real magic.
Right. And which was awesome because when they all showed up, like, this guy was trying to pick them off one at a time.
Yeah.
And then he had Cassie, and I knew she wasn't going to get killed, but what was great was that moment when they all showed up and the circle was complete, and I was like, oh, dude, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Which he was.
He was, yeah. they beat him good.
Yeah. So that was all pretty good. I'm
actually more intrigued with the parents.
Yeah, the parent stuff is whatever's going on with them. Like, I want to know what they're doing, how they figure they're going to get their power back.
Mm-hmm. I want to know what happened, this fire that happened.
Yeah, and killed other random people, too.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, that's pretty good. The teen angst stuff is really very CWE.
I almost just zone out whenever the teen angst stuff starts happening, which happens quite a lot.
Well, because it is. Yeah, I mean, I don't love teen angst, but I actually am more okay with it on Secret Circle than on Terra Nova. Because I feel like in Terra Nova we've got adults and we've got all these other characters I'm like, oh,
well,
I don't want to deal with.
It doesn't fit in on Terra Nova.
But on
right.
Secret Circle, I'm like, well,
Secret
they're all
Circle.
Young people. For Secret
is
Circle?
Secret Circle more geared towards young adults?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, even though I don't like it, I'm like, well, that's the show. You
right.
Know?
Yeah.
So
I know. And I don't care for teen angst.
Yeah.
That's just
yeah.
me.
Yeah, I'm just like, can
I'm,
we get to
I'm
the magic?
I'm hoping that, like, more stuff with the parents comes into play.
Right. And
although I do like the lead.
Yeah. I think she's good.
Yeah, she's good. And the principal, the girl from Species,
yeah,
the Sarah Connor guy.
She is
yeah.
sufficiently evil. I like it.
Yeah, she's very...
Oh, Species, yeah.
Yeah. So,
Natasha
yeah.
Henstridge?
Yes.
Yes, that's her name.
Yes,
it's been driving me nuts. I cannot remember her name.
It's in the credits.
I don't watch the credits.
Okay, then. All right, next up, let's talk about Person of Interest.
I like this episode better than the first one.
I do, too.
I agree, yeah.
Because it opened up... Like, they gave the little monologue at the beginning, this is what the show's about, I'm like, whatever. But it opened up with a really good, like, it opened up with a case, a 5-second case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes in, he saves some guy, he's like, yeah, when you cheat on your wife, you should make sure she doesn't know about it and send Hitman to kill you.
Yeah.
You know? So that was all really quick, and you're like, yeah, save the guy. What's my next mission? You know, so all of that was really quick, and it was straightforward, and it was exciting, and action. And we got flashbacks. We got flashbacks to, though this actually felt like Lost. Like, I really felt like I was in a weird episode of Lost for this one because... We would do the Flash because now he's all lame. He can't move one side of his body and he's limping on his leg. And Mm-hmm. We do the flashback. He's running on a treadmill, and you're like, okay.
We don't know why he's limping yet, right?
Right.
Or how the founder of the company died. Yeah,
exactly, because you're like, we have to do... The founder of the company is the one spouting the stuff that he's spouting now, because he's like, we have to save these people. And he's like, no, we don't. We're totally fine. We just deleted it at midnight. Mm-hmm. So you've got...
So obviously something happened.
Yeah. Right.
Was that Rene Auberjonois' brother?
No. He had the same last name.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Yes. But no, I do not believe they are related. No.
All right. I was looking for physical similarities.
There weren't many.
And then the case this week was with the whole family being slaughtered.
Yeah, and the one girl surviving and on the run for 2 years, which was a hell of a way to live.
What was great about that one was they're like, okay, we have to save this girl, but everything says she's already dead. Well, if the machine pops out her name, she's obviously not dead, so now we have to figure out which. So I liked... They had to follow the clues to figure out, is she alive or dead? Okay, mm-hmm. She's alive. Okay, where is she? What the heck? You know, like...
Yeah. So we're chasing a ghost.
Well, the thing that got me, like, when it said that she's alive, and they had that based on her social security number, my first thought was, okay, someone is using her social security number.
Ah, I see what you're saying. But I think it wasn't so much... The number they pop out is a social security number, but what the machine looks for is facial recognition.
Right, yeah.
So it didn't necessarily mean that someone was using her social security number.
Right, that's true.
So, what'd you think, Amy?
The most exciting scene was towards the end, obviously, the climax of the episode, where they're running away from the hitman.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
And then she won't leave the guy, Emerson's character.
Yeah.
Finch.
Yeah,
so she really comes to trust him.
Mm-hmm. That was actually really good. And the guy has a gun, and she has her little box cutter. Like, really? Like, you bring a knife to a gunfight, basically.
Yep. But I like that, and I like Finch. Reese, I'm kind of
that's true, because he was all determined to figure out who this guy is, so he follows him, and he keeps all that was pretty interesting.
It was interesting. My problem is, and this is just a blanket problem that I have with the series, is that Jim Caviezel adds way too much gravitas to his performance. Every line he delivers is way more dramatic than it needs to be.
As he ages, I think he looks more like Eric Roberts.
That's true.
Strange. I don't know who Eric Roberts is.
He played the master in the Doctor Who movie.
Eric Roberts played the master in the Doctor Who movie?
I told you he was awful in it.
He's terrible, yeah.
But
sorry, right. Eric Roberts, if you're listening.
All right.
If you are, tell your sister we love her.
All right. Next up, we're gonna talk about Prime Suspect.
I liked it. I mean, I think the premiere knocked me out. That I was like, whoa, this is really good. This one, Julia noted to me that it actually was also another similar plot to the Helen Mirren one. But even without knowing that, I could pretty much guess that it wasn't the pedophile. I was like, clearly it's not really the pedophile. And it was one of those episodes where the point of the episode isn't really the case. The point of it is to show even more, is it Jane? Is that her name?
Yes.
To show how she doesn't get along with the group and how this guy, the decision he made, while legally sound, really, this guy ends up killing himself. I mean, it's a pretty bad situation that happened. And even though the guy's just like, the guy's a pedophile, I don't really care. You're kind of like, well, you know. The moment there's a scene where, basically, he believes that this pedophile is the person who's now taken killed a mother and taken a 3-year-old girl, even though it's not his MO because the girl's too young. And so he goes...
And tells the girlfriend.
He goes, so first, Jane goes and talks to the girlfriend. She's like, do you know why he was in prison? It's like, well, actually, yeah, he was a kid. He made some bad mistakes. And of course, his audience were like, no, that's not it. You know? But Jane doesn't say anything. So we're like, all right, she's keeping the information. But then, of course, this jerk cop... He, reads the entire transcript of what happened, which completely destroys her and everything. And then, the moment that happened, I'm like, and of course, now it's going to destroy this man's life.
Right.
So, but no, I mean, still a good episode. I like Maria Bella, but I thought the premiere was better. So.
I think the point of this, like you said, is her relationship with the other cops, but it also shows that this particular cop is not necessarily a good cop. He basically...
He's not corrupt, though.
I don't mean he's corrupt. When I say
not the shield.
No. What I'm saying is he's a lazy cop. He basically looked at the case, figured out in his head who he thought and who he wanted to be guilty of it, went at that angle with single-minded focus and never opened his mind to anything else. And Jane was very much like, okay, let's look at the pedophile. The pedophile has an ironclad alibi. It's not him. Let's move on. And he was like, no, it's the pedophile. I know it's the pedophile. And so he kept
looking for some window.
Right.
Which is what he gets when the girlfriend is like, well, actually, he did leave earlier than I said.
Well, my question is, did he lie? Did she lie at that point because she was so upset? Like,
maybe.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get the impression that she was lying before.
No, I didn't get that either.
So I kind of feel like once they told her how awful he was and that maybe he molested her daughter.
She wanted to protect her daughter.
She wanted to protect her daughter. Get him away. And that's why I think he was so angry later, because he's like, you didn't trust me. You gave me up. And why I think his anger was there. Anyway, so then I like the fact that Jane was like, she basically ends up working the case by herself. She figures out where the girl is, and then that dude still gets the credit. That's the thing that's just like, oh, really?
And to which she says, like, but I'll know.
I'll know the truth, right. And that guy's like, oh, he's such a jerk. The dynamics between her and the other cops, I feel like other than that particular cop, she's making headway with the other cops.
Right.
But it's like every time she makes headway to get them to where they respect her, that other guy comes in and slaps her upside the head to kind of try to take that away. Like, he hates it if he thinks the other cops respect her. He can't stand that. I totally love the show. Thumbs up. All right. Next up is Supernatural. And this week's episode was basically Sam...
Hello, cruel world.
Sam losing his freaking mind is I like that they were using the reference about his marbles are all over the floor and stuff like that.
I feel like this is the Sam I was hoping we would have seen last season, who was just complete PTSD, hallucinating, doesn't know what the heck is going on.
Right. I like Lucifer is totally just screwing with him. Like that. I
just
hope
that Mark Pellegrino is back. Best Lucifer in the world.
Yes, he definitely is. And I just all the mind games are great. Mm-hmm. Though what's heartbreaking is as much as Dean was like, oh, I'm fine. Like,
he finally calls up Bobby and says, Bobby, I'm not fine.
He's like, I'm going to strap Sam to his beautiful mind in the truck and we're just going to go off a cliff. But if this is the end of Cass, I'm very disappointed.
I don't think this is the end of Cass.
I don't either. I'm really hoping not. But, because I can't... Cass needs to go out better. Like, he's actually died better earlier.
Exactly. Cass is not going to go out like this. And, plus, I feel like they would need to drag Misha Collins away from the show kicking and screaming.
Well, yeah, there's that, too. But, and then Bobby's place got blown up. And I was like, are you kidding me? I love Bobby's place.
Yeah.
So, they apparently killed Cass, which I haven't seen a body, so I don't believe yet.
Exactly.
And then... Bobby's place got blown up, and it looks like they may have
killed. Now Bobby is gone.
Yeah. And I'm like...
They really, like, stepped up their game this week.
Oh, man. I was like, if you guys kill Bobby, someone's getting hurt.
Oh, the only way I will ever accept Bobby getting killed is if it's in the series finale, and I don't need to deal with anything beyond it.
That's true. Because they need Bobby. Like, he's their sanity. And
he really is.
And then that was a good cliffhanger, too, because they're like, oh, we're going to the hospital where people get eaten.
I know, that was great. Like, I just love, like, Sam has a concussion, Dean has a broken leg, and he's like, come on, you gotta get up, I have a broken leg, you need to carry me!
That was all really good. I think this actually felt like a very, very good opening. Like, it felt like this last week's episode and this week's episode needed to be a two-part...
Two-hour opener.
Right. The beginning of the episode literally takes off from last week's.
Yeah.
It all feels like one big piece.
I agree. And I'm so psyched for this season now, because, like, they really just sort of came out of the gate running.
Right. And I don't know what the Leviathans are. I don't know what their plans are. I don't know who the boss is.
Digging the Leviathans. They are some badasses.
Yes, I agree. It's like they ate the swim team.
And, like, part of me was like, really? We're going to have another creepy girl?
Well, no, yeah.
They turn into creepy doctor. I'm like, okay, fine. Now I'm okay with it. Because I'm like, this show has had way too many creepy little girls.
That's true. And I liked how the fact she's like, he's like, you got a very short body. And she's like, yes, and it knows nothing.
Or she's like, it knows where babies come from, and it's gross.
Oh, right. Oh, and then because they've been locked away for so long, they don't know anything about humanity. So listening to them talk about it is just...
It's very cool, and I like their attitude.
Right.
I like how they're just kind of snarky.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I still want to know who the heck the boss is. And
we
know that there's a lot of them too. And so far we've got like, what, five?
I think we got four. So we got four that we've seen, and then their big unseen boss.
Right. But I mean, that water exploded, so there's obviously probably more. Yeah. So that was all.
Oh yeah, there's, well, I mean, they said there's probably hundreds of them in Cass when he left.
Right. And I liked, the guy, Benito's, his name, he's from The Shield.
Okay, I haven't watched The Shield. Are you talking about the guy Leviathan?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's from The Shield. He was the boss on The Shield. He was awesome on The Shield. So
I really liked him in this.
Yeah, so I'm actually glad that seeing him back on screen. So I was like, yay! So this week's episode, thumbs up.
Totally,
pretty good.
Thumbs up.
Next up, we're going to talk about Fringe. And this week in Fringe...
this was a weird one.
It was a good episode, but it was a little strange because we really didn't have any Peter at all. And we just heard,
until
like,
the very end.
Until the very end, we heard whispers or whatever. But what was interesting is the two universes trying to work together on a case.
I thought that was a really cool idea to explore. I didn't think that this was the best executed version of how we could do that.
I don't know. I did really like it. I liked in one universe he's a serial killer, and in another universe he helps catch serial killers. So yeah. I thought that was, it's a very kind of Dextery thing.
It was a very Dextery kind of thing. I just sort of felt like, why did they not foresee that he would realize at some point that he was investigating himself?
Right. That's true. Like, he's like, oh, that's my chair. And I was like, yeah, because there's going to be similarities.
Yeah, it's like, how does this person have my chair? How does this person have a picture of my father?
Right, right. And
they all seemed like very sideswiped by that. Like, we didn't expect this to happen.
Well, I don't think they knew what his father looked like, so they didn't think to take that picture off. I think they went through and made sure there weren't any pictures of him.
Yeah.
So they did that, but...
But it's like the whole point of bringing him in was for him to sort of profile himself.
Right.
And sort of give them some leads onto where he could be. And of course, like, he is going to figure out through just the pattern recognition that this is himself, and he's going to shut down, which he did.
Right. But once they explained it to him, I really liked that moment. The actor knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
Where he basically explained why he's not a serial killer.
Yeah.
Like, all of that was just fantastic.
That was very well done, and I like that we sort of have this moment, or, like, there's this moment in both of their histories where...
The
path diverges, and it was really cool the way that divergence happened.
Right, and I also liked that, like, as he's explaining it to himself, mm-hmm. like, he's saying, okay, we did this, yeah, and I ran, and I hid, and I got caught. Oh, I didn't get caught, and I woke up in the field... And I was like,
and I met Marjorie.
Right. And I was like, you know he's going to kill you now. I realized that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he didn't realize that.
I don't know. There was like a part of me that was like screaming at him, like, listen, you can tell him you're going to teach him how to do this all you want, but he is still going to kill you.
Right. Yeah. I was like, that is the definition of a serial killer. He will still kill you.
But I did like the ending where, like, he's done the whole, like, extracting memory thing with him. And they wake up. He wakes up in the hospital, and Broyles is telling Olivia he's extracted the memories of Marjorie, and now we're gonna have to watch him to make sure that he doesn't become a serial killer.
Because he doesn't
have these memories that helped him not become a serial killer now.
Right, right, right.
And then he wakes up and just sort of says something like, "Even in darkness, you can still find the light."
Right.
And I loved, like, Olivia's reaction where she's like, okay, he's going to be all right.
Yeah, it's like, he remembered the lesson, even though the person got erased. I was like, oh, they're basically talking about Peter.
Yeah.
And I thought that was all pretty, that all came together.
Yeah.
However, Peter better come back soon.
Seriously.
Because I saw...
Well, I don't think Walter can take much more of this.
Right. Walter is losing his mind. And it showed in next week, it doesn't look like Peter's back next week either.
I didn't see the preview for next week. I mean, I don't think Peter's going to come back next week, but he better come back soon.
Right. Hopefully, maybe the week after. Because, like, next week, Walter is unraveling more.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'd say they've got, like, maybe one or two more episodes without Peter, and then they need him back.
Seriously.
Yeah, so.
Because without Peter, we were pretty much on Monster of the Week.
Right. All right, so, thumbs up for French?
I give it a thumbs up.
Oh, and Lincoln. Lincoln's a good addition, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we have the other side Lincoln, who was always great, but now we have this side Lincoln, who is part of the team.
Right.
Who I think is fitting in really nicely. He's kind of Astrid-y.
Well, yeah, and the other Astrid. Yeah. Wait, what? Well, which Astrid are we referring to?
I'm talking about this Astrid.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's sort of got, like, that sort of nonchalant, dealing with craziness attitude.
Right. Though that the thing Astrid is, has. In the other universe, that Lincoln's in love with Olivia.
Yeah.
And so I was like, does that mean that's going to happen in this universe?
No.
Well, she's for Peter.
Well, basically. Yeah, she has that conversation with Astrid where she's like, well, he's not my type. And Astrid says, do you wonder if maybe your type doesn't exist?
Nice.
I was like, that was very well done.
All right, so trailer wrapping up again. Thumbs up for French.
Thumbs up, yes.
All right. So that's it for this week, TV Campfire. You can send feedback to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. And now you can listen to us on getthepointradio.com and kryptonradio.com.
Woohoo. Wow, I go away for a month and we get all popular and stuff.
All right. So we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Later.